This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
If you made the show prettier, I'm not going to say more athletic, but I will say more talented and just, you know, more poppy. There's a lot of popping going on. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, we're in on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course, on your smart speaker. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And, you know, it is a wonderful time to shave your arms, Harry. The Dollar Shave Club's six-blade razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with six stainless steel blades for swift hair removal and their lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores. And yes, that's right, with the amount of tattoos I have, I love shaving my arms. You could just come up, Harry Douglas can come up and rub my arms anytime. I had hairy arms once, but I shaved them. That's all I'm saying. Now that I've made the world uncomfortable, we already talked about the Ravens. Let's continue our two-a-days, this time with the Cleveland Browns. Don't believe me, just watch. That's going to be the theme of the Browns this season, Harry, because like I got no idea. There's all sorts of talent on this roster. But there are two ways you can play this game on Madden. One involves Deshaun Watson being your quarterback. The other involves Deshaun Watson not being your quarterback. And as much as I love Jacoby Brissett, the backup, I don't know that I love him the starter. So I'm looking at the Browns, and if there's ever been a team that you take off the board, you don't put the money on them, and you just give the grade incomplete, it's Cleveland. I have no idea what to expect from a quarterback that we don't even know if he's going to play.
Well, I think coming up soon, we're going to know if Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended for 4 to 6 games. Is he going to be suspended a year? Is he going to be suspended a year and a half? I think that will be able to tell us a lot. Now, if he's suspended 4 to 6 games, I think the schedule is very favorable for the Cleveland Browns as they start off the first 4 games with Carolina, the Jets, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then the Atlanta Falcons. Now, when you get to game 5 and 6, you have the Los Angeles Chargers, you have New England, and then after that, you have Baltimore, Cincinnati. So the first 4 games look favorable for the Atlanta. For the Cleveland Browns, but I don't know if Jacoby Brissett is going to be able to put them over the top to make the playoffs this year if he has to be the starting quarterback the entire year. And even looking at those first few games, there's a possibility that they might not beat the New York Jets because they have gotten so much better. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they still have some more work to do. Atlanta Falcons, they made some moves. They're young. But when you look at the gauntlet of schedule that they have remaining after that, things are going to be tough sledding, and you're going to need a quarterback like Deshaun Watson to get over that hump.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that schedule. After the Falcons game, in succession, they have the Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins, Bills, Buccaneers in a row. I mean, that is a gauntlet of a schedule for a team that I think has a lot of talent. And look, we all know that Cleveland has the running backs to run the football, right? Cleveland has an offensive line that can help them out. And defensively, there's a ton to love about this roster. It's hard to know where their season's going to end up when we don't know. According to multiple reports, the NFL is looking for an indefinite suspension of at least 1 year. But obviously, the Browns, Deshaun Watson's camp, are looking for no suspension at all. Maybe there's a middle ground. Maybe there isn't. If you're the Browns and if you're Kevin Stefanski, you got to be looking around figuring out, okay, how am I going to manage a team that looks wildly different depending on who I have as a quarterback? And also, what should I expect of a quarterback that didn't play a single snap last year? Like, that's a long time away from the game to just knock off the rust.
I have a suggestion, because when you look at this roster, the Cleveland Browns can make some noise if they have the quarterback in play. Now, if Deshaun Watson is suspended a year, if I'm looking at management for the Cleveland Browns, I'm doing everything I can to go get a Jimmy Garoppolo just for 1 year, because I don't see how they can just waste the talent that this team has. I mean, in Cleveland, you should be tired of wasting anything by now. You should be in win mode from this point forward. I'm trying to go get a Jimmy Garoppolo for 1 year. Here's why. Jimmy Garoppolo would be going to the system that he's familiar with. Kevin Stefanski came from the Gary Kubiak tree. Where did Gary Kubiak come from? The Mike Shanahan tree. So the offense is not going to be too much far off for Jimmy Garoppolo to have to learn. Now, the offensive line, yes, they have a stud offensive line, but let's not forget J.C. Treader is no longer the center for that team. You look at two guys in Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills Jr., who's coming off injury. So those guys have to be healthy and ready to go. But when you look at what they have running back wise, they have two of the best of them. They have two solid tight ends. They traded for a guy like Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones. They drafted David Bell from Purdue. They have the roster to make noise. This defense last year was fifth in the NFL in total defense. So it's not like they have some slaps on that side of the ball. They have a pretty damn good defense to make some noise. That's why I don't understand with Baker Mayfield, how was he not able to get things done? And everyone points to the shoulder. But when you have a fifth best defense in the NFL, and then you have the talent around you, how can you not get it done?
Yeah, the Amari Cooper edition, by the way, it's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz, Harry Douglas hanging out for the guys. When you start talking about the Amari Cooper edition, I think that's one of the more interesting portions of this, because when Amari Cooper is great or good, he's great. I mean, spectacular. When he's not, he's invisible. And you want to talk about maddeningly inconsistent. It's something I joked about when I watched him as a Raiders fan. The only problem is he'd go off for 200 yards one game, and then you knew that meant next week he wasn't even going to get a catch, right? And you could sit there at the time and blame it on the organization. But then he went to Dallas, where he was also wildly inconsistent. So at some point, it's not about the quarterbacks. It's not about the offenses. It's not about the coaching. It's not about the environment. It's simply about the player. If you can find a way as a coaching staff to get the most out of Amari Cooper, you have one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, which is only an incredible addition to a team that does have a great ability to run the football. The question is, can the Browns figure out the right way to motivate Amari Cooper, get in his head, and keep him dialed into this team? Because if he's gone, he's out completely.
Here's a little history lesson for Amari Cooper. I need for him to understand what I'm about to say. When you play against the AFC North, or you play in the AFC North as a wide receiver, as any player, you don't have time to take any damn games off, because that division is going to be physical, and it's going to make the, it's either going to be a man or a boy in that division, point blank period. You don't have time. It's not the NFC East. It's not the AFC West that it used to be when he was out there playing with the Raiders. That brand of football in the AFC North is physical, physical, physical. And if you don't like physical play, it will be able to show instantly when it comes to this division.
This division is also so difficult. Like, I think we agree that, you know, there are two divisions in the AFC, and I really think in the NFL, that stand out this year as the most competitive. And depending on what happens with the quarterback situation, some of the best quarterbacks that you could have across the board. Like, if you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC West, that's a pretty spectacular division, obviously. If you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC North with what you have with Joe Burrow and what you have in theory with Deshaun Watson and what you have with Lamar Jackson, I mean, you can't lose games the stupid way. Like, this is, you're going to have to play really quality football all year to win these divisions, to win a bunch of games. We're going to get you more from Cleveland and what could happen for the Browns from Cleveland. But first, Harry's got to tell you about Grainger. Tell him, Harry.
For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is here for you, and they're always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at over 250 local branches. And you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down hard-to-find items. Plus, Grainger's commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys as we break down the Cleveland Browns as part of our two-a-days. If you're just tuning in to ESPN Radio for the first time through this process, we're taking two teams a day, breaking them down all day on ESPN Radio. So it's a great day, great way to get caught up on what's going on for your favorite teams. And one of the best to cover everything for Cleveland, one of our favorites, Emmett Golden. You can listen to him on ESPN 850. Emmett, always appreciate the time, my friend. We were just talking about the fact that it feels like to me this is one of the tougher teams in the league to predict because, frankly, we have no idea what the quarterback situation is going to be like. So, not knowing nationally what it's going to be like, what's the sense around Browns fans for what they expect?
Well, I mean, they're expecting Jacoby Brissett to at least, you know, start the season. Now, hopefully he doesn't, you know, play 12, 16, you know, 17 games, but they're expecting to start with Jacoby Brissett. And at least fingers are crossed that maybe Deshaun Watson will be able to join the team by at least the middle of the season, somewhere around the bye week.
When you look at this offensive line, who's one guy that you feel like needs to step up in 2022 to make this offensive line continuously be dominant?
I think Jedrick Wills Jr., you know, he hasn't had a bad year yet, but when you're a first-round pick and you're replacing a Hall of Famer in Joe Thomas, you know, the expectations are extremely high. And he's performed decently, but I think if he kind of steps up and takes that next level or goes to the next level, you're going to see, I mean, this Browns offensive line is really good even with him, you know, playing at an average clip. But if he's able to, you know, raise his ability, it's just going to make them that much better. Two of the best backs in all of football back there. And that offensive line is one of the strengths of the Browns. So it could get even stronger, you know, if Jed is able to elevate his play, you know, still early on in his career.
All right, Emmett, admittedly, I'm too much of an NFL draft fan. Harry and I did the digital shows this year together. I work a lot in college football. There's certain guys I fall in love with and I want them to be successful. David Bell is one of them. I mean, just absolutely fun watching him every week. Everybody knew the ball was going to him and you still couldn't stop him. In your mind, who is David Bell going to be for the Browns?
I think David Bell is going to be, you know, possibly a two. You know, you got Amari Cooper here right now and Donovan Peoples-Jones. They're probably your one and two at receiver. And currently, David Bell's kind of looked at as a slot guy, the third receiver. But everybody in Cleveland loves him too. You know, they love his story. If you listen to him speak and you watch him play, you can tell the guy has talent. I know he didn't, you know, burn it up as far as the 40 is concerned at the combine. But when you're a Big Ten receiver of the year and you got guys like Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, you know, in the same conference as you and you're able to beat those guys out, you got some talent. So they're expecting a lot from David Bell, and everybody's really excited to see how he's going to perform this season.
When I look at this Browns defense, we know what this defensive line could be. We know what the secondary could be. I think if you want to point out a weak spot, I think the linebacker group is a place you can look. How vital is it for a guy like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in his second year to play a huge role in this defense?
He's very important. He's one of the, you know, the young guys in that defense that everybody is really excited about. You know, you're right. If there is a weak spot, you would say it's the linebacking core, but I don't really think it's a weakness. It isn't quite as good as a secondary that has Denzel Ward in it or, you know, a defensive line that has Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. But, you know, I think Anthony Walker is solid. You know, JOK is amazing and everybody's, you know, really excited because he flashed last year, guys. He made some plays that got everybody excited, and whether people want to call him undersized or not, he's a football player and he does that on a tremendous level week in and week out.
Yeah, you mentioned undersized. Like, I just want us to stop saying that because I feel like every year we got guys that come out that don't fit the bill and still make a difference. We're talking to Emmett Golden, ESPN 850 in Cleveland is where you can check him out. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. So, deep question, obviously, but the Baker Mayfield stuff and now obviously everything that's taken place with Deshaun Watson, does any of this leave a cloud over the organization going into the season?
I mean, it leaves the cloud is we just don't know what to expect early on in the season. I'm sure nationally it's looked and you go, went after this guy with all these allegations. But really here locally, we've talked about it so much that I think people have kind of accepted the fact that, listen, this is the move the Browns made. A lot of folks in Cleveland don't like it. A lot of folks say, hey, the juice was worth the squeeze. It's been split down the middle, but everybody has really moved past that. And now they're just like, hey, can we find out what's going to happen so we can prepare and get ready to talk about football? Because, guys, we have not really previewed. I'm glad I get to do this with you because we actually haven't had a chance to preview the Browns from a football level at all locally. It's all been, talking about Sue Robinson and accusations and all this. We really haven't even had an opportunity to project what we think they're going to be on the field because of all this. So I just think that's where everybody is at locally. We're just kind of ready to understand what the Browns are facing and then to just get ready for the season after that.
Emmett, it's obvious that Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield didn't have the greatest of relationships. So with that being said, moving in 2022, where are some ways that Kevin Stefanski can be better as a head coach and a play caller?
For me, I mean, just running the ball. And I know, Nick Chubb actually was pretty high when it came to carries amongst the league leaders, but they're just so good running the ball. And when you have, the Kareem Hunt and you got Nick Chubb and you're rotating, and even D'Ernest Johnson, who was amazing last year whenever he had to fill in for those guys, I think they got away from the run a lot last year. But at the same time, in the same breath as I'm looking at it, they probably, wanted to give Baker a chance to see what he could do to try to understand if they wanted to extend him or not. So I think without having to worry about that, understanding at some point Deshaun Watson is going to be their quarterback for the next 4 years, regardless of what happened this year as he signed a 5-year deal. I just think Kevin Stefanski, just stick to the run, stick with what's working. But I feel like he's going to have more tools in the toolbox once Deshaun Watson is ready to play for the Browns.
Emmett, I keep talking about the North and how competitive it's going to be. But if I look back at last year, and this is always a tricky game, but if I look back at last year, I mean, heck, the Browns beat the Bengals, right? Like they were mm-hmm. late in the season in the wild card round, they beat the Steelers. Like I keep looking across the board, like are we at some point sleeping on their ability to be competitive in this division? Like are they the best team to you in that division?
I think so. Everybody's looking at the quarterback position, 100% fair. I totally get it. But the Browns were in it all year last year up until, the second to last game of the season. And if they just had average quarterback play, they could have won the AFC North and, in worst-case scenario, been a wild-card team. And when you look at Jacoby Brissett, you go, Jacoby can protect the ball. He can get you in and out of difficult situations. He can hit open receivers. You're not going to ask Jacoby Brissett to be, Pat Mahomes or anything like that. You just need him to be responsible and take care of the ball, and he can do that. And like I said, you can kind of question the receiving, position. I think Amari Cooper is poised for a big year, and they got some younger guys that aren't necessarily proven. But that defense is extremely good. So I think a lot of people are overlooking the Browns, and it's easy to do because the focus is on Deshaun Watson, and that's 100% fair. So I totally understand it.
By the way, my misspeak, the Steelers beat the Browns. That's my misspeak. Go ahead, Harry. Before Twitter corrects me, I want to correct myself. Go ahead.
So you look at the safety position. You have a lot of talent back there. You look at Grant Delpit, Ronnie Harrison Jr., Richard LeCount III, and I pointed out those three guys because those are the three young guys. If I mention all three of those guys to you, what are your expectations for those three in 2022?
I expect them to just continue with the level of play that everybody around them has set. Because there's an expectation. You don't want to be the weak link on this defense because you have multiple corners. It's not just Denzel Ward. Greg Newsome was amazing last year. Obviously, J.J. Mm-hmm. 3 back there, and John Johnson the 3rd as a safety. You don't want to be the guy that falls off. And I can tell you, Grant Delpit, after coming off a terrible injury his rookie year, once he got on the field last year, he looked really good. And you start to go, okay, this is what the Browns saw when they drafted him. So of all the people that I guess are being underestimated or teams, I think the Browns defense is being greatly underestimated, because outside of the first five games of the year when they were still kind of fresh and learning how to play with each other, once they hit their stride, they were one of the best defenses in the NFL. And I feel like, you know, people kind of overlooked that for obvious reasons. But I'm telling you, that secondary is going to be one of the best in the NFL. And if they can find another defensive tackle or two, that defensive line should be pretty good as well.
I mean, before we let you go real quick, I don't believe in coincidences, right? Like, so you've got a team that's spent a bunch of money, that's got a bunch of big names, and then conveniently you've got reports that they're looking at a $1 billion stadium renovation or a new stadium. How important is success on the field right now for the Browns in order to get the stadium initiatives that they want?
I don't think it's that important. I mean, here in Cleveland, everybody loves the Browns, right? They went 1-31, and the place was still sold out until the end of the season. So the city would love, fans would love for a new stadium, especially something with a dome on it, and not necessarily for football, for, hey, let's get the Final Four, let's get a WrestleMania, let's get some of these other, big events. So I don't think getting that cleared and making that happen, I don't think the Browns and their success really affects it at all.
That's the expertise I'm looking for. You can listen to him on ESPN 850 in Cleveland. By the way, WrestleMania comes in Meyer plus one up there. Did that just happen, Emmett? Like,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I grew up with Dolph Ziggler, so I could get us some great seats.
Oh, look at this. We are going to. That's all I got out of this. Look, Cleveland, get that stadium built, damn it. I need to go to WrestleMania with Emmett. Emmett, appreciate you, man. Appreciate you hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. It was supposed to be the summer of KD, but it's possible another huge name could be on the move in the NBA, and one passionate fan base could be the victor for all of it. We'll talk about it next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, fill in him.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Spartan Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course, your smart speakers. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, filling in for the guys. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small business resources and learn about small business grants at HelloAlice.com. Harry Douglas, every day in the NBA brings new drama and new possibilities and new hope for certain fan bases. And obviously, every single time that there's a discussion about anybody that might be on the open market, suddenly we try and put them with the Knicks. It's like our obligation. It is that here we go again person, you know, like the guy that comes into the bar that you hang out with all the time that's like, oh, he's got a foolproof plan on how it's going to. Everybody rolls their eyes. That's what we do. We put it together, a foolproof plan, every single time there's any drama. But there are at least rumors now that Donovan Mitchell is available for someone for the right price. Woj says, quote, the asking price appears to be steep, but in the wake of Utah's recent Rudy Gobert blockbuster deal to Minnesota, the Jazz are not simply dismissing calls on Mitchell, sources said. So we now know that he's out there at least being listened to, which is why Wendy said this about Donovan Mitchell to dun-dun-dun, the New York Knicks.
In the trade for Rudy Gobert, the Jazz basically showed what their strategy is. They took back role players on expiring contracts to get four first-round picks in that deal. The New York Knicks have eight tradable first-round picks and a need and a desire for a star player like Donovan Mitchell, who is from the New York area. Some people believe that this is an inevitability. It's just a matter of what price can be negotiated. Other teams are interested in Mitchell, and it could go a different direction. They could keep Mitchell, or at least posture they're going to keep Mitchell. But I think we're going to hear a lot about Donovan Mitchell the New York Knicks in the coming days.
You buying it, Harry?
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's on the table. It's on the table. And if you're the management for the Utah Jazz, you have to weigh all options, especially moving forward. We've seen Danny Ainge, what he's been able to do with the Boston Celtics when he's had a ton of draft picks. Now, the thing about Donovan Mitchell is he going to buy what Danny Ainge is selling him? Now, he's very credible because he has the proof in the pudding to back up what he's probably selling. It's just a matter of does Donovan Mitchell want to be a part of that moving forward?
I think this is – let me take one variable out of this, and that is the variable of where you're from. Like, Donovan Mitchell is from New York. Now, as most people know, I'm from Vegas originally and lived in Nashville for a long time. If you told me today that I could do my exact same job anywhere in the country and I could pick where I'd want to go, Vegas would be at the top of my list. I love Las Vegas. I would love to live out in Las Vegas, right? There are certain things that resonate with people. If Donovan Mitchell has a connection to New York or the city of Manhattan, if there's a real draw to that, that's one thing that we could just put to the side, right? That's one possibility. And you can't put a price on that. I'm going to take that aside, though, for a second and just say, look at what you and I do here for ESPN. A lot of what we do has to be done in Bristol, Connecticut. Now, not everybody wants to live in Bristol, Connecticut, but if you want your dream job, then you got to go to Bristol, Connecticut all the time. And for a lot of us, you got to live here, right? So if you take the living atmosphere out of it just completely, now just have a basketball conversation. If I'm Donovan Mitchell, the next chapter of my career should be defined by greatness. So I'm far less interested in the Knicks, honestly, than anywhere where I can win. And that's why, like, what Nick Friedel, ESPN NBA reporter, said, I think makes a lot of sense about where makes the most sense for him, and it would be a win for him and the team.
I spent a lot of time in the postseason with the Heat. They got bogged down offensively. It was either Jimmy Butler or nothing. Donovan Mitchell would take pressure off of Jimmy, and he would get the offense to move a little bit more. What's even more crucial, you don't have to give up as much to get Donovan Mitchell as you potentially would for Kevin Durant. So Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, a boatload of picks, whatever it takes for Miami to get Mitchell, that makes a lot of sense because he gives them the other score to go to late. So I know it would fit with the Knicks, and I know Tibbs is losing his own mind trying to figure out how to make it work. But to me, the fit is in Miami.
Let's take again, like, the human element of Miami versus New York out of this and what the teams want. But my God, Harry, put your player hat on. If I give you the choice as a player to play for the Heat or the Knicks, who are you taking?
Well, LeBron say, I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Right?
I'm taking my talents to South Beach. But I will say this, though, Fitz, because it is something to be said that he is from the New York area. And being able to play for a team, whether it's the Brooklyn Nets or the New York Knicks, it's probably has been a dream for Donovan Mitchell. And now I'm someone personally that can relate to this because I am from the south side of Atlanta. And I got to play in Atlanta my first 7 years with the Falcons. And that meant the world to me. It was a dream come true. And I can't thank that organization enough for giving me that opportunity. So when you look at a guy like Donovan Mitchell, it's going to weigh heavy on his heart. But the competitive nature in him may say, you know what, I want to win now. And I'm looking at this team, the Miami Heat, who was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and a shot away from going to the NBA Finals. Would it be feasible for me to be able to pair up with a Jimmy Butler? And can we still make another run, possibly to go a bit deeper?
I mean, and then you think about the financial element, no income tax in Miami, like there's the versus the jock tax in New York. Like, I don't know. There's financial differences too, but there's also this long term legacy conversation that I don't really buy into. Without saying legacy, let me say it this way. You're at this spot when you're 25 and you want to go play somewhere that gives you the chance to win as much as possible and win a championship and not to end up suddenly being that guy that's 28, 29, played really successfully, but you haven't been able to get that into a winner. Then all of a sudden there's a conversation, stupid or not, about, well, you just can't win the big one. Like all these extra elements that come. Like, I want the path that's going to let me have the most success in my career if the money's all the same. So for me, if I'm looking at it from Donovan Mitchell, I want to be in Miami.
I will say this, though. So my brother had an opportunity to play for the Knicks, played in Golden State with the Warriors, played Houston, played in Miami with LeBron the year they lost to the finals to the Spurs. You want to know his favorite place to play out of all those places? In New York with the New York Knicks. That was his favorite city to live, and that was his favorite place to play.
I mean, there is something about being young and rich in New York that is not the worst world. Like, there is good life. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You guys want to chime in, we'll let you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, last time I checked, Kerry Douglas doesn't seem to have that bright, sunshiny smile. What's going on in the Braves game that's causing that? We'll catch you up on that. Some other big baseball news that's happening right now across the world. We'll catch you up on it next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, in for the guys.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in. Y'all are mad at me about my Knicks takes. I'm not throwing shade at the Knicks. They're not relevant enough to throw shade at. Andrew in Brooklyn. That's called throwing shade. Andrew in Brooklyn. I'm just playing with everybody. Relax. Andrew in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the show. What you got, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Just living the dream.
I actually had a sleeper kind of destination for Donovan Mitchell. I thought about, you know, everything that's going on with the Brooklyn Nets, with Kyrie and KD, and it, you know, kind of stumbled upon me that, you know, Ben Simmons, we know he has mental problems, but if he can get over that, he's still a superstar. And I thought, what would be a better way than to, say, pair him up with a Donovan Mitchell, and that way for the Brooklyn Nets, you may lose, you know, KD and Kyrie, but going forward for the next 5 to 7 years, if I have a 25-year-old Ben Simmons and a 25-year-old Donovan Mitchell, it kind of helps, especially with Ben Simmons' game, how, you know, he's more of a facilitator, defender, and Donovan Mitchell is a scorer. I think that could be a nice duo, a combination in the East that could, you know, potentially with some depth around them, give the Brooklyn Nets not only a reimbursement for losing KD and Kyrie, but, you know, a good contending team and a young team for the future. So what do you guys think about that?
Thanks for the call, man. Harry, to me, that feels like that would have to be a three-way trade, because there's no way either Kyrie or KD is agreeing to go to Utah, right? So you'd have to have somebody else involved in the process that gives draft picks, and then moving everything over seems complicated. I don't disagree that it would be, that'd be a nice little foundation for, you know, the Nets to try and build off of, but that's asking a lot of Ben Simmons, and I don't see any way to get KD or Kyrie over to Utah. You'd have to have a middleman.
Well, if the Nets decided that they want to send KD and Kyrie to Utah, I'm pretty sure that those two guys would boycott playing basketball in the NBA. They're not going to no damn Utah.
Yeah, they just say no.
I promise you that.
They just say no. You know, I mean, like that's if you're under contract and you can still say no to playing, Harry, why wouldn't you just say no to a trade? Like, that's the part of this. Like, in theory, he can't say no. But the other side of the theory is that, like, if he does, what are you going to do? Right.
No, I agree with you. But when you look at Ben Simmons, I don't think the Nets want to get rid of Ben Simmons. I think they want to keep Ben Simmons and see what they have in that young guy. He is young. It's not like he's old. He's just been hurt and battling the mental aspect of things lately.
Yeah, and that's a big hurdle for anybody to try and overcome. I think you've got to look at that and say, hey, we're pot committed at this point, so let's see what we can do. I also think shifting Ben Simmons around to more and more places isn't going to help Ben either, so hopefully he can break through. In the meantime, we'll try and break it all down. Harry sounds sad, and there's one reason why. We'll tell you why in a second. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz.
Bart and Hahn.
All right, I'm going to call out Bart on that one. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. There is a green room at Seaport where the guys can have, you know, some clothes stored in case these exact things happen. So, you know, what is it when preparation meets opportunity, whatever. Like, that's a moment where Bart's got to know better. Like, plus, Bart rides a dang scooter into work. Like, he's riding a scooter into work. Then you put that suit on a scooter. I know that Harry Douglas always looks good when he's on First Take. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz hanging out. We're in for the guys. Presented by Progressive Insurance. I expected to have a wildly distracted HD on my hands. I expected that I was going to be screaming, hot route, hot route. He wasn't going to hear me. I thought I'd be throwing my hands in the air. Why? Because his beloved Braves playing during the show. All this trash talk during the process of the prep emails of like, I can't wait to watch Braves killing everybody when we're on air. And so I told Harry when we started the show, like, don't be afraid to keep us updated on the game. Like, if something big happens, you want to let out a big old yell, I'm all in for that. Embrace the fandom. Harry, you've been awful quiet. What's going on there?
Yeah, I want to yell, but it's not in a positive light. As Chavez, the pitcher for the Braves, just got a balk and a run came in for the New York Mets. So now they lead, I believe it's 7-1 in the bottom of the seventh. This is, I think, the top of the seventh inning. But I'll say this. Early on, Charlie Morton, the Mets treated him like a pinata. There's no other way to put it, right? You had Lindor hit a three-run home run. You had Escobar hit a home run. And then Chavez came in, and he basically has been hit like a pinata the short time that he's been out there as well. But the bats for the New York Mets have been on full display today. But not only that, their pitcher Bassett, he's been phenomenal for the Mets. Got to be honest. Got to call a spade, Fitz.
Look, I like the fact that you can react so level to a series that, I mean, you were talking a level of smack. Like, as we found out earlier, you will talk Uno smack to your own family, as we all know. You were talking it. I mean, the talk was riding pretty high a couple of days ago about what the Braves were going to show this weekend or this week. How are we feeling now?
You're right.
About that. We feeling good?
Well, not too good. As it's 7-1 going into the bottom of the seventh inning, but I would never count this team out just because of what they've been able to do, especially the last month and a half. We've seen this team flourish in ways that more so than any MLB team in baseball. So I'm never going to count them out. It's just that their pitching has let them down today.
Hey, I gotta ask you guys something real quick. You mentioned Uno. Have you ever tried Uno Flip?
Oh, is that that's one where like you have a card where suddenly you can change who's got
so
one?
You could play light
swap
side,
hands?
Dark side.
Oh,
and light side's like normal Uno, but there's cards that will make you flip to the other side, and that's it's very strange. You guys were talking about Uno, I just thought of it because my kids just brought it home. Like a couple of weeks ago, it is the strangest game I've ever played.
Like, I respect the masterminds at Uno that have figured out like 52 different weird things to add to Uno, but Uno's already like a 7-hour game that's going to take you, like, it's going to lead to the destruction of your family. Like, now we're adding different cards in that can suddenly, like I saw they have one now where there's like swap hands with somebody where you just play the swap hand and, like, I'm sorry, I'm taking
I
all
love
your
that.
Cards. You love that? How do you love
it? I love
it?
That. Wait. I love that because. Let me tell you a story. So last night, my niece, she was looking, because we play whoever went three games first is crowned the Uno King, Uno Queen, right? That's how we play.
And
my niece was about to win. She was about to win the game, and she was excited. I'm about to get the first win. And, you know, I had that swap hands in my hand. And as she got excited and said Uno and was doing her little dance with her little shoulders and everything, when it got around to me, I put my card down. I said, let me get those from you, sweetie.
Oh, wow.
Uncle Harry really appreciates you.
That's wrong.
Thank you. And then we came around and I had to say Uno out.
Wow. Wow.
She rolled her eyes and everything.
I mean, that is that. How like, you said you play first person to win three. Like, how many points is a game for you?
No. If you win one game, that's one game for you.
Oh,
whoever wins three games first.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it was me, my niece,
gotcha.
My nephew, my wife, and my daughter.
So a lot of times I just play, like, I'll play till we get to a certain number. So, like, once somebody hits 500, we're out. That's why, like, Uno can take forever, because it can take a long time for somebody to hit 500. You know, you can end up with, like, a score sheet that you keep forever when you get into Uno. So, but I respect that. Did you end up with the crown? You won game one. Did you end up wearing the crown?
Yeah, I got the crown last night. So tonight we're going to play Uno again. And I keep trying to tell them, stop wasting my time, okay? I was the Uno King last year. I'm the damn Uno King this year. Y'all keep making me come to the playing board, but I see no difference in play. So tonight, hopefully they get their minds right. See, right now they're at the mall with my wife getting all kind of stuff. You know, they're just getting spoiled.
I mean, how can they play Uno when they spend all day shopping and being spoiled by the Douglases? I mean, that's living different.
Well, see, I'm trying to get them to understand it's a mindset thing. See, y'all focus on shopping. I'm focused on whooping ass in Uno.
I love that.
While I'm doing an ESPN show. You see what I'm saying? My mindset is different, baby. I'm a competitor when it comes to everything.
You know, that's because you compete at everything. Like, if you were invited, you would compete to the home run derby, right? Like, you'd be a part of it.
Damn,
we all
right.
know Pete Alonso going for the three-peat, but we also know no Aaron Judge, no Mike Trout. You disappointed in the names that are? I mean, you probably only care about Acuna playing, but outside of that, I mean, are you disappointed that we have no Aaron Judge, no Mike Trout?
Yes, only because we've seen what those guys have meant to college baseball. I mean, excuse me, the Major League Baseball, not just this year, but over the years. And poor Mike Trout, man, not just him, Ohtani as well, being on the Angels just wasting their talent left and right as seasons go by and by and by. But Aaron Judge chasing Roger Maris's record to become the all-time leader in Yankee history in a single season, knowing that, and then you know the Yankees, they're shooting for the best record in baseball as well. I would have loved to see Aaron Judge in it, but since he's not doing it, I'm not going to fault him for not doing it.
No, I'll never fault somebody for not participating in it. I think you're right. All-star events, to me, and this is something we've been talking about a little bit on Spain and Fitz this week with the WNBA All-Star Game. All-star events are not just, they're very little is about the game itself. It's about everything else that happens around the game. You got to find unbelievable, in today's world, you have to find unbelievable celebrity. You have to find unbelievable attention. Like, you have to put on a spectacle. Like, I don't believe that we're in a world anymore where a band can just pop up a tent somewhere and play a show, right? Like, people expect fire and lights and lasers and all these things. Like, that's what you have to do. And, you know, Trout and Judge, to me, Harry, they're sort of like the lasers. You still got to find a way, even if they're not in the home run contest, you got to find a way to bring out the personalities of these guys as part of the festivities.
No, I'm trying to think. Who else is in the home run derby?
Pujols will be there. Like I said, Acuna will be there.
Kyle Schwarber?
Schwarber will be there.
That's a good one.
Soto will be there. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of good
talent. He's having a hell of a year. He's having a hell of a year as well. Juan Soto was a lot of people's NL preseason MVP.
I'd let Aaron Judge and Mike Trout call the thing if they're not going to participate. That's just me. You can hear both of them hanging out with Canny and Carlin. They're going to give their thoughts on the Home Run Derby contest. He's Harry Douglas. I'm Jason Fitz. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.